Whenever we survey the situation in the world today, we see on the international scene hunger, natural disasters, and general political unrest. In our own nation, we see the sad condition of our economy, coupled with dishonesty in high places. And locally, we're aware of gang violence, rising prices, broken homes, and the untimely death of those who get in the way of a drunk driver. And to the concerned citizen, such things as these could tend to be discouraging. But discouragement in the Lord's church is something that I believe needs to be discussed. Consider with me, if you will, how many babes in Christ fall away before they have a chance to grow. Peter says in 2 Peter 2 and 20, "For if after they've escaped the pollutions of this world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." And actually, more and more we're seeing preachers who stop devoting their lives to preaching the gospel. I can't even tell you how many in the last year have just given it up. And some are concerned that the church is not having as much impact on the world as it should. And others are crying, "Oh, for the good old days." But when was it ever easy to be a Christian? Where are you going to go for the good old days? You know, I just can't imagine what it would be. But those who belong to God in days gone by have certainly felt a sense of discouragement. I can think of one in particular. His name was Noah. And he preached for hundreds of years, only to save seven souls besides his own. Seven. And how about Moses? After bringing the nation of Israel out of Egypt, came down from Mount Sinai to find people worshiping a golden calf. Some, however, have allowed discouragement to lead to defeat. Think of the 10 spies that went into Canaan. You said, "Well, there were 12. That's right, there were 12. But there were 10 of them that were discouraged. And they were defeated. Israel was discouraged by the might of the Philistines, and for all intents and purposes, were defeated until David stood up against Goliath. Judas was discouraged whenever he saw what was happening to Jesus, and it resulted in defeat whenever he hanged himself. And the one talent man in Jesus' parable of the talents was discouraged whenever he thought about the strictness of his master. And so he was defeated whenever he buried the money that he was entrusted with in the earth. But this afternoon, let's give our attention that's in this study some facts about the subject of discouragement and defeat. First of all, consider some things that Christians become discouraged about. There are some who are discouraged whenever they try winning souls. Hours and hours and hours and hours are spent without any visible results. And so what happens? They become discouraged. We need to remember that Jesus calls upon us to teach the gospel to others. Now think of this. If every time we taught someone, a positive response was assured, what would that mean? You better think about it. What it would mean is people would have no choice. No choice. But that's not the way it is. And we must simply press on and not allow our failures to convert souls to discourage us unduly. Some Christians are discouraged whenever they see the faults, the weaknesses, the insincerity and lukewarmness of professed Christians. And if I missed any there, I apologize. You just fill in the blanks. But this can be disheartening. There's no doubt about it. But as Edward Redforce, we have an obligation before God to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to put aside all of these things that can be disheartening and grow. Grow. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And as we're striving to grow, we need to be aware of the power of sin and its ability to draw us away. And for this reason, we must also be patient and prayerful with regard to others as well as to ourselves. It's not unusual for Christians to become discouraged at the seeming slow progress of the local church. And there could be no doubt that many churches are not what they should be. But progress is not always measured by numbers or by dollars in the treasury. Whenever each member is doing all they can to cause the church to grow in spirit and numbers, this is progress. And of course, there are some discouraged because of personal failures. We need to remember there are many things which may set us back as we pursue the life of a Christian. But we need to remember the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain in the Lord. But you ask, why is it that Christians become discouraged? Well, I think one basic reason is because of their love for the church and their brethren. To the faithful child of God, the Lord's church means more than life itself. And any time they see wrong in the church, it breaks their heart. And this in itself is a good attitude unless it's allowed to overcome you and cause you to suffer defeat. Oh, some are discouraged because they have forgotten that human beings are imperfect. Oh, they keep looking for that perfect Christian. All of us have problems of one kind or another. As we said before, we must all concentrate on growing. I think growth is what Peter had in mind. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, when he said, "For this very reason, give all diligence," giving all diligence, "add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance," or self-control, "to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Now listen to this. "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and is forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things," listen, "you will never stumble. At some point, however, the excuse of being a babe runs out, and it's time to grow up. As the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, "For by this time you ought to be teachers." What does he mean? Enough time has passed. You ought to be teachers. But you need someone to teach you again the first principles, the oracles of God. "And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of their senses, having their senses exercised, to discern both good and evil." There is no doubt that some Christians have forgotten the tricks of Satan. They have forgotten that Satan is real and a constant threat. They have forgotten what Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And besides that, we could say that it's also quite natural to be discouraged. I mean, where's the man or woman who has never been discouraged? Never. The real danger is not in being discouraged. The real danger is allowing discouragement to lead to defeat. Well, that brings up another question. Why is it that some Christians are defeated? Well, one of the major reasons is that they don't pray like they should. Paul says, this is one of those short ones, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Problems which discourage us look much smaller after prayer. Failing to pray simply allows their size to be exaggerated. Some are defeated because they don't really believe that God is in control of all things. Paul said in Ephesians 3 and verse 20 and 21, "To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages without end. Amen. Whenever we believe that God is able to take care of us, we will not be defeated by discouragement. There are those who are defeated. Oh boy. Those who are defeated because they have never learned the meaning of forgiveness. Jesus taught in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Whenever we forgive, we do not bring it up again. We treat it as if it never happened. But some Christians are defeated because they simply have a lack of faith. You know, we need to be, I'm going to go back and talk about Joshua and Caleb now. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb, who went over into the promised land and spied it out and came back and said, we can take it. On what basis? They trusted in God. They trusted in God. And God is the key to victory over defeat. No two ways about it. But along this line, some are defeated today because they trust self more than they should. We need to heed the word to the wise man in Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Listen to it carefully. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Wow. God has the power to sustain us. God can carry us through even the most discouraging of times. As the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? But some, unfortunately, are defeated because they forget that salvation is an individual matter. Now, what do they mean by that? We're not saved in a bundle. Okay, get over there in the right bundle now and you'll be safe. No, that's not the idea. Each person has to answer for himself. But some people get so wrapped up in the things going on around them, they forget about their own soul. We need to be reminded about what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Only the few will be saved. And we got to work. We got to work to be sure we're in that way. Then we need to say as Joshua did in Joshua 24, 15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But after all we can do to help a brother, we must be careful not to sacrifice our own soul to defeat. Just think about it. What if Peter would have taken his own life whenever he saw what Judas did? Think about it. He wasn't defeated. Well, how can we overcome discouragement and defeatism? Well, I think the first is pretty obvious. And that is, we must live on the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think it obviously means study it. We have to study it. We have to believe what we read. We have to learn what we read. It helps to memorize it when we can. But most of all, live it. Live it. We will not be discouraged unto defeat if we always look to God's word for answers. We talked about this morning in class, didn't we? Where do people go for answers? Well, he told me, or he told me. No, that's not where answers are. Where do we go for answers? The fact is that men can be wrong. Men can be wrong. When we go to the writings of Joseph Smith Jr. or Mary Baker Eddy or any number of the ones that have been instrumental in starting denominations of various forms and shapes, they were individuals, and they wrote what they believed in an effort to teach others the same thing. But they can be wrong. But what about preachers, though? You can always depend on preachers or elders. No. Even preachers and elders. Yeah, I know that's discouraging. When you can't trust a preacher, you can't trust an elder. Who are you going to trust? I think you're going to have to trust God's word. Yeah. That's what you're going to have to trust. But the Bible, the word of God, is always truth. As Jesus said in his prayer to the Father in the garden, in John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You see, Jesus, being the Son of God, above all men, knew that what his Father said was truth. It couldn't be refuted and could not be denied. It was truth. And he prayed that God would sanctify them by his truth through his word. And of course, that behooves us today to stand for the truth. You know, there's a lot of people who talk about the truth and even quote from John 17, say how wonderful truth is, but they really don't have any idea what it is. They only give lip service to it. And even some who are supposedly sound in the faith. By the way, I saw something interesting. I'm just going to say this because I think most of you know what I'm talking about. Denny Shipper today taught a lesson on soundness. Sound churches in a church in Little Rock, Arkansas. That was interesting. He's looking pretty good for an old man. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting subject because my first meeting with Denny was when he and Sandra had attended out at Fillmore, and they knew it wasn't sound. and they finally got out of it, but they weren't being regular in their attendance over where they decided to go over in the valley. So they came over here, and long story short, that's how we got his mom and dad. And of course, we're mighty happy to have had them both. But anyway, nothing earth-shattering, just interesting. Now, what's the problem, though, with people who give lip service to the truth and then turn around and have fellowship with error? How can you do this? How can you give lip service to truth and have fellowship with error? In Ephesians 5 and verse 11, Paul says, and listen to it carefully, have no fellowship. Whatever this is that he's talking about now, he's talking about something you're to have no fellowship with. The unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Well, what are these unfruitful works of darkness? Things that are contrary to the truth. Simple as that. And what does he say to do with these unfruitful works? Expose them. It's not enough, according to Paul, to just leave error alone. Let it go away. Let it just go its course. No. Paul says we must reprove it. This is why Jude wrote in Jude 3, that's the first chapter and only chapter, in verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Contend earnestly. What does that mean? Well, when you go to Mr. Thayer's Greek to English Lexicon and you look that word up, you find it's to strive or contend as a combatant. Yeah. It's like they did in the arenas when they fought wild animals and when they had contests one against another. Yeah. That's it. Contend earnestly against that which is false, that which is not part of the faith. Notice, the faith which was once for all delivered. When you stand for the truth, sometimes it'll mean you'll have to contend earnestly for it. But one thing that it will never mean, and you know what that is? It'll never mean compromise. Never mean compromise. We know the truth says this, and as soon as we start thinking, well, maybe, it doesn't say you can't, find ourselves compromising. We must also remember that when we are faced with discouragement, and this is important, that the Lord loves us and has never done us any wrong. Put that in your pocket and take it with you. Everything he has done and will do is for our benefit. If we'll just accept it and obey his will. Simple as that. And we should recognize that discouragement can help to make us stronger too, by the way. Whenever we refuse to allow it to lead to defeat, it makes us stronger. I'm not saying it's easy, but it can be done. Now, what is the last point that this man wants to make? Oh, yeah. It's not a sin for you to be discouraged. I want you to remember that. Not a sin to become discouraged. But to give up and become defeated may well cause the loss of our souls. Jesus, writing to the seven churches over in Revelation 21, and down at verse 8, talks about the lake of fire and so forth. And he says, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. King James, I think, has the word fearful here for cowardly. But you know what this describes? The defeated. Yeah, the defeated. Those who have failed to rise above discouragement. We need to recognize discouragement and put it aside before it turns to defeat. Don't allow it to get control of our life. Because it can. It can. But we have the power to overcome it. And we can, if we will. I appreciate your careful attention to the lesson this evening, and trust that you found something in here you can chew on at least, and hopefully it won't be too hard to chew. And I don't know about you, but I kind of enjoyed putting this lesson together because it helped me, you know? I didn't know where to go to find a lesson like this. So I just made one up. And I hope it isn't too bad. I hope it helped every one of you. And that we can all find some good in it and be able to make application appropriately.